America leads the world in medicine development. It matters. We get new medicines first, nearly 3 years faster. 5 million Americans go to work because we make medicines here at home. And not relying on other countries keeps us safe. But China is racing to overtake us. Will we let them, or will we choose to stay ahead? When America leads, America cures. Let's tell Washington to keep us in the lead.
Learn how at americacures.com. Paid for by Pharma.
We welcome you back, Inside Boxing Live, back in your life, presented by PPV.com. It is Dan Canovio. It is the world champion, Chris Algieri. It is fight week. Terrence Crawford, Israel Madrimov out in California. I'll be heading out there in just a few hours to the West Coast to bring you all of the funness and goodness. And that is from our friends at PPV.com. That is how you're going to order the fight on Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, wherever you may be. I'll be in the live chat with Jim Lampley and Lance Pugmire. I'll be getting you content all week long, courtesy of PPV.com. No subscription, streaming to your tablet, phone, big screen TV is the best way to order fights. There's a live chat. You know this by now. If you're new to the show, PPV.com is our presenting sponsor, and they are the premier way to order pay-per-views. Big one coming up this weekend. Chris, it's been a little bit of a minute since we got on this pod. We had some travel stuff. We had some vacations. We had also Florida Man Dan is still recovering.
Florida Man Dan was the major story of the last 2 weeks. You've been globe-trotting or Florida-trotting through the summer heat, because that's another thing. It has been brutally hot down here as per usual in these months. But welcome back, cool. Dan. Glad you're back in the old seat.
Back in the saddle, back in New York. Tampa was fun for Jake Paul. We talked about that on last Monday's episode. Orlando, not as fun, but still fun because I'm covering boxing and I'm calling fights. I'm hanging out with Nonito Donair, who wants to fight Chocolatito, who I think will get that fight. I don't want to give away too much of Nonito Donair's secrets, but he's working on something pretty big, a big comeback fight against Chocolatito, which I don't mind that fight at all.
I'm not mad about that at all. They're both older. They're both legends. I like that too. They're both fantastic people, but I like those kinds of fights. I don't like when you got the really young guy, you know, coming up, taking on the guy who's on his way out the door. When you get two older guys fighting, I like it. Because, listen, it's about levels, right? Like, you can get really great fights with two guys who aren't fantastic or aren't at their heights. You know, if they're in the same place, you can still get a very good fight, especially in those smaller weights.
You put that on a Saudi card, like, you know, one of the supporting fights, 37-year-old Chocolatito coming off of a win, and then 41-year-old Nonito Donair, who was still a wild man, hung out with him in Orlando. Wild, got a few mojitos in him, and he's also just the nicest guy in the world. Love calling fights with him. That's what we did on Friday night for MVP Prospects Show, which featured a kid getting his tooth knocked out. I don't know if you saw this on Instagram. One first punch of the fight, these two cruiserweight prospects, he gets a jab to the face. He takes a step back, the kid, and then he takes a knee. And I see something fall out of his mouth. It's his tooth. His front tooth came out through the mouth guard. He's shocked. The kid is in utter shock. He goes to try to pick it up with his gloves. Scoop it up.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, I've seen everything now in the sport. And that was on Friday night, and I felt so bad for the kid because he was so rattled. First punch of the fight, gets hit with a jab.
Go through the mouthpiece or just fell, like, out of it?
He let the mouthpiece out, loosened it, and that's when the tooth came out.
Oh, okay. But I've seen guys take their mouthpiece out and their teeth were in the mouthpiece. Like
it just chiseled in?
Yeah, they're stuck in. Because a good mouthpiece, it's supposed to be hard to get off your teeth. So if your tooth is actually taken out of your mandible, it should be in the mouthpiece. That kid obviously didn't have a very good mouthpiece. But
No, we're talking about prospects here. This kid was from South Dakota. That was the highlight, not the highlight of Friday night, but that was one of the main
standout moment. Standout moment.
Standout moment. The viral moment of the night for MVP. Fight week is here. Terrence Crawford, Israel Madrimov, and we got Pitbull Cruz, we got Jared Anderson. Who else is on that card? We got freaking David Morrell, Andy Cruz,
Andy Ruiz. I mean, yeah, this is a good card. It's a really good card.
Top to bottom.
This got announced a couple months ago, and everybody was like, yo, this is such an amazing card. Virgil Ortiz was supposed to be on the card fighting Tim Zhu, which made it one of the best cards in recent memory. They fell off, but still a very solid card top to bottom, which we're getting kind of used to with Dirk Alashik and the cards that he puts on.
And it's the first foray into the U.S. Seeing Turkey yep. Alashik with Oscar De La Hoya, seeing him on U.S. soil, bringing Riyadh season to the U.S. It's the first official Riyadh season show of any combat sport because he's going to be sponsoring that UFC card, the Sphere, which we'll talk about in just a second, which is competing against Canelo versus Berlanga. So there's a lot to note. I'm going to be out there in California. I'm going to get a feel for it. I want to get a feel for if they're going to do this again. I don't know how ticket sales are doing. It's like, I think, like a 1 o'clock local time start in LA at a giant soccer stadium. Terrence Crawford sells a lot of tickets in Nebraska. I don't know if he sells a lot of tickets in California. I think they took a big hit with Virgil Ortiz not being on this card. He is a bona fide star in the Southern California area. Who cares, though? I don't think fans really care about ticket sales. I think they care about a really fun card. And this is going to be.
I don't think Turkey cares. More importantly, I don't think he cares right. about ticket sales. But
well, I would love to know.
I mean, they made it a Mexican heavy card, which I think was very very smart on their point because
Pitbull's going to have fans.
Pitbull's going to have fans. The return of Andy Ruiz, the only Mexican heavyweight world champion. You know that's historic. He's been out for years. He's also a super exciting guy to watch, and he's got a pretty good fight. You got a fight with two guys that are going to combined weight be like 600 pounds. So.
Yeah, Terrell's looking better. Terrell Miller is looking better. I think a fight that a lot of people are sleeping on is the Bacoli versus Jared Anderson fight.
Yeah, so we got asked about that, or I was asked about that, and I said, that's not an easy fight for Jared Anderson. Bacoli is legit. He's a very, very solid guy. His only loss is to Mike Hunter, and I think it was like on a shoulder injury or something like that. He's a big guy. He's got power. He's been in with some good competition. This is definitely the biggest step up for Jared Anderson, I believe. People aren't going to know that. They're going to think, oh, well, you know, he beat a former world champion already. So this isn't that big. This is a tough fight.
That's a very tough one. They're doing three fights on the Santa Monica Pier just for fun. Mark Castro.
Yeah, my boy headlining. Mark. Yep.
They're doing like a lot of the events are at the Santa Monica Pier, which is really cool. I love Santa Monica. Like the fighter arrivals, the media workouts. And then they're like, we're going to give you three like real fights after the media workouts, like on the zone from the Santa Monica Pier, headlined by Mark Castro. So that's going to be fun. I think it might be open and free to the fans. It's going to be a scene. Cool. It's going to be a scene out there. I'll try to get as much content as I possibly can.
A lot of fights.
A lot of boxing. Well, my life is fights, and I've never been in a fight in my life. Isn't that a little ironic?
Yeah.
I think I should fight someone.
But not really, because like if you think about, you know, your position in the sport, there's been a lot of guys that have been in your position. Max Kellerman never had a fight. I don't think Jim Gray ever had a fight. So you know,
he's been in a lot of verbal fights.
Yeah. On live TV for sure.
Maybe I will take a fight. I don't know, I'm getting into better shape, so maybe I will step into the ring with Algeria.
I think every man should have a fight in their life, win, lose, or draw.
Close calls.
Get that feeling of walking into a ring. You know.
Well, I'm talking about just like street fights, like fights at parties.
Jeez.
You know, I got to chatter. You know, I could chatter. You know, I could instigate. I would always instigate the fight, and then I would have.
Wait, so you've
friends.
Never been into a street altercation before? You've never been in a street fight?
I threw one punch. I hit a kid. Oh, felt boy. Awesome.
Dude, I'm not gonna say you should start street fighting at the age of 36, but geez, I can't believe you made it this long and never got into a fist fight.
I always found my way out of them. I always found my way in the background. Like I said, I would instigate the mouthpiece, of course, yeah. Talk for a living, and I would mosey into the back.
I was always good at talking my way out of fights too, but I still got into a whole handful of them. Sometimes of course you just you can't not. But also I think we should get you a white collar fight, like a boxing
match.
That would be cool.
If you lived in New York, I think we would have already had a series where you are whipping me into shape, we're gearing up towards some type of white collar smoker at Church Street, or you know a fight at Gleason's, like a four rounder me against.
Yeah, get you down a few lbs, get you to welterweight, get you a nice fight.
I don't know if you saw this. We were doing some giveaways on for the Jake Paul, and I hopped on the scale, and I was Canelo's weight.
I did see that. I did see that.
168.
But I knew that. You've told me that you were
scary.
That
before, so. Scary that I could fight Canelo, man.
Well, I mean, we saw the photos of you guys next to each other. He didn't look that much bigger than you, so.
He's not, and I'm going to see him again September 14th. Perfect segue into our first major topic here on the podcast. Canelo Alvarez is fighting Edgar Berlanga September on PPV.com. It was announced last week by Canelo. Chris Eubank fell out of the discussions. David Benavidez was never in the discussions. Canelo is going to do what Canelo does. He's going to fight whoever he wants. He's going to fight a guy in Edgar Berlanga who has zero title fights, has some type of WBA mandatory positioning to get this fight, to kind of justify this fight. Fans are unhappy, to say the least. I think it's going to be a better fight than many are giving credit to. I think it'd be an even better fight than the Munguia fight. But Canelo Alvarez is back in the ring. He's still the face of boxing. Whatever he says becomes a headline. Wherever he fights becomes a headline. Most of us will be watching come mid-September for this fight. But it's not who everyone wants to see Canelo fight right now. That's David Benavidez.
No, I mean, listen, everyone wants, of course, David Benavidez, which Canelo doesn't even mention. But even David Morrell, who is probably the next most deserving right behind David Benavidez, another guy that never gets mentioned by Canelo.
And he's at 175 as well.
He moved up now at 75?
Yeah, he's fighting on the card on August 3rd against Hot Rod.
That's right, against Hot Rod. Hot Rod's been training down here in Boca. I saw him spar a few times. But
Hot Rod.
But yeah, you know, these guys, they got tired of waiting around, and they're going to different weight classes, which is, you know, I get it. I like the way they're moving. They're not trying to just hold up their careers, you know, because there's this bottleneck at Canelo, and you've got to kiss the ring before you can get the fight. But Berlanga's my guy, man, a New York, Florida guy. She's been training down here, and you know, he's got the Puerto Rican thing. So you got Mexico versus Puerto Rico, which historically is a great matchup where you get tons of fans who are really, really excited about the fight. I'm curious to see, you know, if Berlanga has the star power to bring people over from the East Coast to fly out to Vegas to put some butts in that seat, because you know the Mexican fans come out. We love Mexican fight weeks. We love Canelo fight weeks. It's so much fun when their fans flood Las Vegas, which they, of course, will for this fight as well. But then you mix in the Puerto Rican fans, the East Coast fans. You know, you've got that hip-hop influence that Berlanga has. So I think fan-wise, I think it's going to be a fun week. And in terms of the fight, I agree with you. I think, you know, Berlanga's a big puncher. He's a big guy. He's young. Yeah, guess what? You stand next to Berlanga, you're nowhere near as big as he is. I'll tell you that right now. You might look as big as Canelo. You're nowhere near as big as Berlanga, as Edgar. So I think the size, the youth, the power, and also the fact that he's never been there. He's going to be fighting for his life. And it's not – like I agree with you also with the Munguia thing. Munguia, he fought a very respectful fight. I don't see Berlanga doing that. I think Berlanga's going to go for it. Does he stand a chance? I mean, probably not, but we'll see. But listen, you always got to give a puncher a chance, and Berlanga can't punch.
Yes, he can punch. That was his thing. Think about the career arc of Edgar Berlanga. We're talking about a guy that had this incredible KO streak, first-round KO streak. Gets brought on by Top Rank. He's on ESPN.
Guys, 16 in a row, first-round knockout. 16 in a row. That's crazy.
Second coming of Mike Tyson. They're hyping him up on ESPN. It becomes must-watch TV. We're watching a prospect, essentially, on ESPN, seeing if he can do it again, and he was doing it. The streak ends.
I worked a lot of those fights. There was a lot of hype and a lot of, like, everyone was like...
There was a lot of hype. A lot. Yep. The whole arena standing up. I'm getting texts from non-boxing fans. Who is this Berlanga kid? This kid from the city who, you know, who's got the look, and he's punching lights out. And then the competition steps up, and the streak goes away, and he begins to struggle. Bites that opponent. He gets that mutual parting with Top Rank. He signs with Matchroom. They kind of give him a few fights here and there, some Matchroom-type opponents. And now he's in the ring with Canelo Alvarez.
Yep.
That right there, if that's not boxing, like where anything is possible, where meritocracy doesn't really exist, it's being in the right place at the right time. That's Edgar Berlanga. And you could not like this fight. That's totally fine. You have every right as a consumer. Mm-hmm. You have every right as a fan not to like this fight. But you have to just take a step back and be like, wow, like this guy's career has been so unconventional And for him to, I never thought that he would get Canelo at this point in his career. I thought, yeah, maybe like early on when he was knocking guys out, I said, wow, one day him and Canelo are going to step into the ring. But not after like the top rank fallout and not after what I saw in the ring. His last couple of fights.
He had five decisions in a row, and then, you know, he struggles, but showed that power once again when he fought Jason Quigley. But Quigley put on a great fight, great performance. But Berlanga showed real good late power, and then McCrory. I mean, McCrory didn't stand a chance anyway, but he did exactly what he's supposed to do with him, and boom, that steps you into a Canelo fight where guys like David Benavidez have to go up in weight classes and fight killers and try to, you know, to try and vie for that and still can't get it. It's boxing. Meritocracy is not a real thing here.
Patrick McCrory was his last win. Jason Quigley, Romer Alexis Angulo. That was the fight where he took a bite out of his shoulder. Steve Rolls, Marcelo Coersis, Damon Nicholson. This is who Edgar Berlanga has fought, and nowhere near the caliber of Canelo Alvarez. Canelo has 24 title fights. Berlanga has zero. If you go over to Canelo now, you know, his 168 run is looking interesting, to say the least. Callum Smith, Anvi Yildirim, Billy Joe Saunders, Caleb Plant, Golovkin, Ryder, Jermell Charlo, Munguia, and now Berlanga. And it's like twofold, Chris, because they're really – it's not a, that's not a horrible resume at 168. It's just the guys that were there. Those are the guys where they either had belts or those were the guys that made sense at the time. Yes, Benavidez is missing from that list, but who else is there? Like, outside, if you take Benavidez out of the equation, which is not an easy thing to do because he is the fight for Canelo to make, who should Canelo fight right now if it's not Benavidez? There aren't that many other options out there at 168 because he's either fought them all, those guys are either out of the picture, or those guys have either moved up.
Well, that's why I mentioned Morel. You know, obviously he just moved up, but so did David Benavidez. But even like a guy like Mumbili, I think a lot of people would argue that Mumbili is more deserving of an Edgar Berlanga just because of the guys that he's been fighting recently. He's about to fight Darevchenko.
That'd be more fun.
Who's never an easy out. You know, Andrade was a guy who was always in the picture, but you know, obviously he got smashed by Benavidez, so he's out. And then, you know, Diego Pacheco, he's very much in a similar place to where Berlanga is. So I wouldn't be able to argue putting him in the place over Berlanga. Berlanga is a lot more popular, a lot more well-known. So, yeah, I mean, I would argue Mumbili would be more deserving if you're going to take this type of fight. But, yeah, you're not wrong. Berlanga, this is not the fight we want, but I'm not mad about the fight. I want him to fight the two best guys that were there. That was Benavidez and Morel. They're both out. I think Mumbili is a good opponent. He's been on a streak as well. But to your point, can you be that mad if you really look at the division? You know, he was calling out. They were gonna fight Chris Eubank. Chris Eubank hasn't fought in 68 years. He's been fighting at 160. That thing move up. He's also 34, 35 ish, something like that. An older guy coming from England, was not going to put butts in seats in Vegas. If they were going to do it in England, absolutely. He is a big star there. That fight made a lot of sense if they were going to go over to Wembley. Bring Canelo across the pond, people are going to come out. You got a guy who's a bona fide star over there, but he's just not a star here. And especially in Vegas, you know, the British fans fly, they come out, absolutely. But it's not the same kind of luster that it would have if it was over there. So Canelo making moves the way that he wants, and it is what it is. We got to take it because Canelo does what he wants.
Yeah, he does. Exactly right. That's the main thing, is Canelo does what he wants, and that run at 168 has left a lot to be desired. This is the quote-unquote last fight of his PBC deal, and I don't know if you remember our show we did when this fight was announced, and yep. We were thinking some of the names that Canelo could fight was a Benavidez was on that wish list. No one thought Jermell Charlo would be on that list. You know, Errol Spence was a name that we were talking about. This is before he got bludgeoned by Terrence Crawford. I don't think anyone had Charlo, Munguia, Berlanga as the three of this PBC deal. One of them being a PBC fighter, Jermell Charlo, who was a complete surprise in that one. Munguia being a Golden Boy Zanfer fighter. Munguia is now with Top Rank as of last week. And then Berlanga, which is a matchroom fighter. So much changed in a year. But for Canelo, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and rip into him. I know a lot of people are really, really upset They're not going to watch the fight. They're very down on Canelo. Duck of the year, duck of the century. This guy's, he's ruining his legacy. It can all change. It can all change because I do think he will fight Benavidez at some point.
Do you? You're still holding out?
I do, because what is the end for Canelo? Like, he says he has a couple more years left in him, right? Who is he fighting? Crawford, yes. I think he's just going to, like, have to fight Crawford because I think the money is going to be just too big. Yeah. That's the big one. Turki Alsheikh is saying, that's the fight we're looking for Crawford. As long as Canelo doesn't have crazy demands, I will do everything I can to secure Canelo versus Crawford. Canelo's been on record saying, I don't want to fight Crawford. It does nothing for me. I beat the smaller guy. Your guys are still going to have an issue with it. So if he says Crawford's
out
of the
mix.
Yeah,
but Canelo has said a bunch of things before about guys he wasn't going to fight and then decides to fight them last
week. Right, I'm not fighting a Mexican, and then he fights Munguia.
Who's like the face of Mexican boxing around those weight classes. So
okay, so he's not going up to 175 either, I don't think, because I just don't think that's the right move. He's not going to fight Bivol. He's not going to fight Beterbiev. There's no one really at 168, which we just illustrated, besides Mobili or Pacheco in a few years. I mean, he can fight these fights. Like, that's another thing, too, is like he's gotten to the point where he is such an established name and star that Canelo fighting anyone is going to do at least 500K buys on pay-per-view on the low end, maybe a little bit lower. And it's going to do a whatever million gate, $10 million gate in Vegas. It's going to do crazy numbers in Mexico. He has that going for him, no matter who he fights for the remainder of his career. But is he okay with that? Is he fine with that? It seems like he is. But I do believe that the Benavidez fight will happen. I think he's angling it for it to be one of the final fights of his career. I could be completely wrong here, because Benavidez announces that he's going to 175, and he seems like he's staying there. He wants to just establish his whole new star there. So maybe Canelo just kind of waited it out where he just doesn't want to fight him. I don't know.
I said that about Benavidez. Once he went to 75, he's not coming back down. You know, he's a big guy. Going back down in weight like that after you've been up. And he fought Vozdik. Granted, he's been off from championship level, elite level competition for years, but he's still a very, very good fighter. And he showed that night. He's tough as nails, took some big shots.
Benavidez looked good too there.
And Benavidez did look good, I thought, as well. Didn't have that same destructive power, but yeah, it's not a new weight class, first time there. He did look good, but I never pictured him going back down to 68 unless the Canelo fight arose. And I think that's
what Canelo says. All right, what about in a year from now? Canelo says, I'll do the fight at 168. Of course, Benavidez can do it.
Of course, and I think that'll be a ploy for Canelo to get him to suck down a little bit. They'll probably put in some stipulations about, you know, rehydration and whatnot, because he's made it public that he doesn't want like fighting Benavidez because he gains 25 pounds after a fight. So, you know, that's also very, very public. And Canelo's smart, man. He puts all these Easter eggs leading up to these fights, and he says one thing, goes to another thing, but you know, he still, everything he says matters. Everyone listens. So he's planting these seeds for us to kind of think about when the fight does come. He's like, well, these are why I make these demands. But yeah, it's an interesting layout, because things are changing. You know, you don't want to fight these guys, and the guys go away, and then, all right, now who do you fight? And now you have to fight the guys that you said you didn't want to fight. So,
well, yeah, and
not saying Benavidez. I'm saying Crawford, like you said.
Right, yeah. I think the Crawford fight is looking more and more likely. It's just the only big one out there for Canelo. But Canelo's getting the $30 million to fight anybody. That's when you could start talking about his desire to fight the best. But it's not like there's someone out there. Obviously, Benavidez, yes, I understand it. But outside of Benavidez, there isn't these other big names for Canelo. So I don't know what his career looks like for the remainder, the next 2 or 3 years. Is he going to fight the Berlanga types from here on out? We'll see. But Benavidez says he's staying at 175. He's guaranteed the winner of Beterbiev Bivol. He relinquishes his 168 mandatory position, which was pretty much useless because he was mandatory for 2 years, and the WBC never stepped in and made it where he had to fight Canelo Alvarez or Canelo get stripped. Canelo did get stripped of his IBF title, so that's one less title that Canelo has, but I don't think he really cares about that. But Benavidez going to 175, staying there. That came after the Berlanga fight was announced. Berlanga fight was announced, I think, midweek, and then Benavidez finally told WBC, I'm going to 175. Morrell's at 175. Not only that, Benavidez says that I'm going to take the May 5th date from here on out, and I'm going to be the May 5th, the May fighter I'm going to take it from Canelo. I don't know if he's going to be able to do that, but good for Benavidez. You know, good.
I like that energy.
I know you. I saw your comments on Boxing Scene. Like, good for Benavidez. He's going to 175. He's making his own lane. He's got a big fight there. Better be up in B-ball. He doesn't have to wait for Canelo. I think throughout all of this, Benavidez is coming out looking pretty good in terms of winning the court of public opinion. He hasn't gotten the ring with Canelo, but I think Benavidez is looking pretty good.
Well, I've always said the way that he handles, he's very media savvy as well as Benavidez, because he just talks like a fighter. He's very to the point. You know, even when he did his apology about, you know, showing up drunk to one of those shows, like, it was very, very genuine the way that he responded to it. And I think that comes across great to the fans. Like, he's not hiding anything. He is what he is. I want to fight everybody. He says he doesn't even care about the money to fight Canelo. He just wants to fight, which people, that's endearing as hell. But, you know, he's a fighter. The guy, he's not waiting around. He's staying in the gym. He's staying in shape. He's taking on tough challenges. You know, the Better Be a Bivol fight, I'm very hesitant about how that's going to work out, you know, because Better Be is old. And the fact that, you know, if he's going to get to that fight, then also what happens after that fight? Are they not going to have a rematch? You know, does say Better Be wins that fight, how easy would it be for him to just be like, I'm 21 over 21 knockouts. I just beat the guy in my division. And, you know, I'm done. I'm retiring at 40. My body is feeling it. And if he doesn't, how long is he going to take off before he fights again? So May 5th, maybe too close, you know. And then Bivol wins. Maybe do we get a rematch? Maybe Better Be retires then. I don't know. We don't know. There's so many options and so many new things that can happen when you're really angling for a fight that hasn't happened yet and is months away. I don't know. It seems like that kind of situation has the risk of being snake bitten for a number of reasons.
Also, so you think Benavidez could be snake bitten once again?
What's that?
You think Benavidez could be snake bitten once again if the Better Be Bivol fight never happens?
Yeah, I don't know. I do. I've said that in other interviews before. I'm like, waiting around for that big fight. I don't think it's a good idea. He's just got to keep going out
I
there.
I think he's gonna fight again.
Putting up the wins he does. But focus on what's in front of him. Like, really, just get. I mean, which he has. Get these guys out of there. Get these guys in the ring with you. Keep busting ass. But I think we might even see Morell in him before we see him with, you know, Better Be Bivol.
I would love that.
Or Bivol, of course. I mean, it's you're getting two young guys in their prime fighting. I mean, that's a dream.
Yeah. Even if the Better Be Bivol fight doesn't happen, Better Be Bivol and Bivol is available. Bivol versus Benavidez would be awesome.
Good fight. Very good fight.
Better Be versus Benavidez would be awesome. Morell versus any of those guys. Moral of the story is David Benavidez is no longer waiting around for Canelo. He's up to 175. He should take a fight again because Better Be Bivol is penciled in for October 13th. So he'd be smart to fight around then, Benavidez, you know, sometime in the fall, and then get try to angle for that one fight at 175. So that's the latest between Canelo.
Did he hurt his hand? Didn't he hurt something in the last fight? His arm or his hand or something. So
he was complaining about some type of minor injury. I forget it was hand, shoulder, the arm, legs and toes, all combined for Benavidez. But he's got plenty of time off. What else happened this weekend? Oh, Derek Chisora defeats Joe Joyce in a slobber knocker of a heavyweight fight. A Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
That's an upset. That's an upset. I wouldn't say it's a huge upset, but it's an upset.
I think on the sports books, it was considered an upset. I think they're pretty evenly matched in terms of, like, speed, where they're at. I think Joyce coming into the fight, had a little bit more left in the tank. Chisora I can't believe they actually even made this fight. But Chisora proves us wrong, I guess, by weathering the storm, dropping Joyce late, winning. And now is going to find himself in more fights, I guess. Like, what do you win here? Like, there's no title on the line, and that's not everything. But for Chisora, who I thought should have retired like 5 years ago, it's like, all right, you win. But guess what? Now you're going to find yourself fighting Zhang, who said he's interested in fighting another big heavyweight. Like, I don't know. I watched it with like one eye. Like, kind of closed because I was just like, oh man, these guys are just doing so much punishment to each other. But then again, like, we watch fights for a living. You fought for a living. Like, this is what it is.
I lost
you. I'm not going to tell you not to step in the ring, Derek Chisora, but man, if there was a part of me that felt a little like awful watching.
Yeah, I thought I was going to. I thought it was going to be like, oh man, why is this fight even being made? But it was kind of exciting. Yeah, it was a slop fest. But like, you're kind of like, you're looking at it, and it's funny. My brother put actually big money on Chisora for that. Not big money, but you know, good money on Chisora. And I'm thinking about it. I'm kind of like, yeah, that's probably a really smart bet. I mean, he's probably going to win. I mean, because, you know, Joyce, he throws a lot of punches, but he's so hittable. And Usyk came out and said that the hardest he's ever been hit was by Chisora. I'm like, and Chisora's a big guy. He can punch. And the chin of Joyce has been checked. There's no question. You know, the thing isn't the same it used to be. He used to be, you know, the impenetrable juggernaut. He's just not anymore. You know, our guy Zhang, you know, check that chin. I don't think he's going to be the same anymore. He's also 40 plus years old too. So, yeah, it was, you know, two older guys getting in there, and it was a slobber knocker, as they used to call.
Damn.
But yeah, no, Chisora did that thing, man. And you're right. Like, what's next? Hopefully retirement. You go out on a win. You got paid. You know, what else you need to do? But the guy's just a fighter. You see him headbutt the guy on the Uber Eats guy.
No.
Like, the guy's just a fighter. Chisora. There's a viral video of Derek Chisora headbutting an Uber Eats driver outside of a cafe. I don't know when it was, if it was like very recent or a few months back. But, you know, first of all, I'm like, why are you arguing with a guy who's like 6'5 and 300 pounds? But yeah, full on headbutt. Just smashes the Uber Eats guy, goes down, gets up, all wobbly. The guy's a fighter. This is what he does.
Oh, I'm looking at boxing scene right now. This headline is so correct. Joe Joyce, Derek Chisora. It was the best of boxing. It was the worst of boxing.
Yeah, poignant. Yeah, that's a pretty good statement.
Written by Eric Raskin, our guy. Yeah, that's how I felt when I was watching it. I just felt a certain way about it. But, you know, it's boxing. And now Chisora's a legend. I mean, he really is.
Yes, fought everybody. Will fight anybody. Doesn't matter. Gets exactly. Knocked out, comes right back, doesn't care.
Especially over there in the UK, I think he's like a mythical figure over there. Speaking of mythical figures, Manny Pacquiao, he's talking about coming back to fight Mario Barrios, right? That's being rumored. He's training. He fights over in Japan on Rizin, and looks awful, to be perfectly frank with you. Fights Ruika Enpo, who is a much bigger than him, looked like a damn super middleweight in there. Against Pacquiao, 3-round fight. Pacquiao's getting touched up. One of the hardest exhibitions I've ever seen. Like, it was nothing.
Yeah.
There wasn't like some let's spar and touch. Pacquiao was getting rocked. Like, if this went any further, you know, Pacquiao could have got stopped in this fight. I think they should put an end to him wanting to get back in the ring at age 46 to fight Mario Barrios. Will it put an end to it? Probably not.
From what he was saying afterwards, probably not. Oh, it doesn't seem like he has any idea of stopping anytime soon. But yeah, no, the fight was not good. He did not look good. He looked slow. His punches were really wide. His hand speed was not there. Foot speed was not there. Wasn't taking the punches well at all. You know, like glancing blows seemed to shock him. And that guy, I know him as a K-1 kickboxer. He's not a big knockout guy either. And he's been knocked out a few times. So I think they probably looked at that and like, he's not a big puncher. Yeah, he's big, he's tall, but he's kind of like Mario Barrios in terms of size. So that might be a good, you know, kind of warm up. It was not. That was a disaster. He almost got stopped in the third round. He was getting really, really pieced up. And the punches, he was not enjoying with the shots the way they were landing. A couple right hands upstairs. The guy was landing good body shots. That was one of the tougher exhibitions I've seen. That looked much more like a competitive fight than where Pacquiao has been in recent years. And that's the thing. When you're older, it's just that it's that next gear that you don't have. And then you find yourself in there and you're like, ooh, uh-oh. And it kind of looked like Pacquiao had that look on his face. Even at the first round, he's like, oh, man, this guy's bigger and better than I thought. I'm not the same guy. But he tried to will his way through it, as usual, showed his heart. But yeah, the skills have eroded. The ability is eroded. The athleticism is eroded. We don't need to see these guys getting hurt like that. I mean, thank God it was only 3 rounds.
Yeah, I know. And I don't know if this is going to stop the powers that be that want to see him in there with Barrios. The powers that be are Pacquiao's team, who I don't know whose team consists of anymore. Does he have any guys in there that will say no? Boo Boy, is he still part of the squad? Will he say, hey man, you're 46, you're a legend.
One more check.
One more check.
I might just say one more check.
Yeah, then one more after that, and then, you know, I got to defend it and all that. I just hope, I don't know if you saw this, Ryan Garcia was there too. hopped into the ring wearing some type of investor gadget.
Guys everywhere.
Trench coat type of thing. They said he was drunk. He said he was calling people out. Like him and Pacquiao had some type of stare down. Not like animosity, like a prearranged stare down. There's a talk that Ryan Garcia could potentially fight an exhibition in Japan, which would I think he'd be allowed to. I don't know if Rizin will want to get into the Ryan Garcia business. I don't know. That was a whole thing. I was keeping tabs on it on early Sunday. Yeah, it was Sunday morning with Pacquiao over in Japan. The fall schedule is starting to make its starting to formulate here. With Canelo fighting September, looks like Errol Spence. There was a rumor that Errol Spence was not going to take the fight with Fondora.
Yeah, Samson was saying
wasn't
that.
Ready. That's not the case. What the case is that Fondora has until after the Crawford fight to activate his WBO stance to fight Crawford, or I think give up the WBO and then go ahead and fight Spence. So that fight isn't not happening, Spence and Fondora. I think it's in a little bit of a holding pattern. So after Crawford and Madrimov. I'm sitting there saying that Crawford is going to go out and beat Madrimov. That's not a foregone conclusion. But that they're looking at sometime in November for Spence and Fondora at 154. And then there's Tank, who's coming back sometime in December. And according to Eddie Hearn, he believes that Tank and Shakur Stevenson is going to happen. So it could be a pretty busy, busy fall with Canelo in there as well, with some of these big Joshua and Dubois. But 154 right now is where a lot of the attention is at. If Crawford wins, I don't expect to see Fondora versus Crawford. I expect to see Fondora versus Spence. Mm-hmm. And speaking of somewhat shot fighters, like when I saw that story, Chris, like Spence being potentially not ready to fight Fondora, I wasn't shocked at all. It's been a year, actually to the day as we record this, that Spence and Crawford got in the ring. Do you see Spence having any type of like another run in him at 154?
It's hard to say. I mean, does he even have a trainer right now? Because him Derek James are at each throats legally. You know, going to court, suing each other. So, you know, there's that. That wears on you as a fighter. But also not having a trainer that you've always been with is going to be his first time going anywhere else. That doesn't mean he's not training. Doesn't mean that he doesn't have anybody, but there's no reports on it. And when that first came out about Samson saying that he doesn't think that Spence is going to be ready, we actually reported on it on ProBox TV. And I was like, well, I'm sure the Spence team needs to get right on this and respond because they want to stay in this running, I'm sure. Because I think the Fondora fight, in terms of the matchup for Spence, is actually really beneficial for Spence, which is why I think they were going to push to stay in this. Can he have another run? Probably not. But can he make a ton of money, more money? Yes. If he goes out there and he puts up a decent performance on Fondora, gets the win by any means necessary, he's going to step right into another huge fight. And it could be Terrence Crawford again, for all intents and purposes. But there's a bunch of guys at 54. There's a lot of limelight around it. A lot of ways to make money. And then not to mention we could see Spence at 160. You know, he's big. He's going to be big for 54. So he's flirted with that in the past, saying that he could fight up there. We just don't know how much is left, and we're not going to know until he steps in the ring next. And you know, the big shark always says, he's like, there's no tune-ups for me. I go right into big fights. So
it's only 34, which is crazy.
It's also scary. Yeah. But he's taking a
34. He's an old 34, a lot of miles on the odometer.
Got hit. He always got hit a lot in fights, especially the last couple years. And then those two car accidents. And remember, there's two car accidents. There was the one where he was thrown from the Ferrari or the Lamborghini, whichever car that was, and then which is crazy that he walked out of that one. And then there was another one which kept him out of a fight as a tune-up before, quote-unquote tune-up, before the Crawford fight. He chose not to fight, and he said he was blaming the car accident. So, yeah, there's definitely things. And he's actually recently come out in an article where he said that, I know, no one really – talk so much about the accident in terms of having an effect on me because I acted like it didn't, but yeah, it did. It does.
Of course it did.
Yeah, I know he's trying to act like he was the Terminator, but there's no question, especially after seeing his performance against Crawford, that there is an effect on the body. There has to be, and the brain. So we got to see how much is left of him. Combine that with the weight You know, 47 was obviously killing him.
And the money that he's made off of Crawford.
But the lifestyle, too. Crawford lives like a monk. You know, that's not Spence. Spence is out of the club. Spence is driving around his crazy cars.
I don't know if he does that anymore, though, with Spence.
I would hope not.
Spence was that. Spence was that. In 2019, like, we did that episode where we're rewriting history. 2019, after Spence beats Porter, Spence was right outside of Wilder. Spence was the number two commodity that PBC had. He was headlining pay-per-views. He was a star in Texas. He was knocking fools out. He was stack them up. He was beating them all at welterweight. And they were angling him for the Pacquiao fight.
Which was supposed to happen.
Right. Yeah. It gets to the car accident. Really changed his career, changed his life. It changed the course of PBC.
He had the car accident really right after the Porter fight, right? I think it was the car accident right after the Porter
fight.
About
a month and
then
after,
came back for the Pacquiao fight, but then his retina was torn. So he got that fixed. That's another thing. People forget about the retina. That's a major surgery for a boxer. So
yeah. I do believe that he will fight Fedor. I do believe that's a very winnable fight for him. After that, it's maybe one or two more big time fights, whether it's Crawford, whether it's a unification at 154. Who knows from there on. I do want to see him back in there. I don't want to see him go out like he did against Crawford, which was 1 year ago. Crawford getting back into the ring basically one year later this weekend. We're going to have a show later in the week where we go through the fights and we give our picks. But, man, I'm really excited for this fight with Crawford. I've been watching some content that Matchroom's putting out, DAZN's putting out, PPV's putting out there. And he's talking trash to Eddie Hearn. He's just like a different breed, Crawford. And it just sucks that we've only seen him fight like a handful of times over the last like 5 years. Because I was just watching him and I'm like, damn, this guy, like, he talks the shit. But, man, does he back it up like no other. Like, he's just like that competitive guy. Like, I'm just so happy he's back. And I just can't wait to watch him in the ring try to, like, take out a really tricky fighter, Madrimov.
Madrimov's good. This is not an easy fight. Not a foregone conclusion by any means. I got to interview with Joel Diaz last week, you know, regarding this fight and regarding Madrimov in general. He's like, yo, he does a lot of the same things Crawford does. He switches sides seamlessly. He can box at it either way. He's very, very strong. He's big. He's athletic. You know, he used to be he was a gymnast, you know. That's how he came up training. So, you know, he's got crazy athleticism. And, you know, listen, you're coming to my weight class is the idea that Madrimov has. He's also very, very confident. He's got that Eastern European style and lifestyle. So, again, another similarity to Crawford is he lives that monk lifestyle. No booze, no drunks, no this. Eats clean, you know, focuses on the training, always in great shape. I think it's a really, really good matchup, better as we're getting closer. And then the whole card itself is just really fleshed out. So, this is an exciting weekend of fights.
So you say that, like, I hear this about Madrimov, that he fights like Crawford and he does a lot of things, same things Crawford does, but he's not Crawford. Like, Crawford fights.
I wouldn't say he fights like him. He doesn't fight like Joel Diaz was saying that there are things that he does that are very similar in terms. Because Joel has had Crawford in his camp before. He was training with Tim Bradley, so he's seen Crawford up close. Granted, that was a long time ago, but still. Yeah, you know, nobody's like Crawford.
I've heard that, too, not just from Joel Diaz. I heard it from a lot of different guys out there. But if that's the case, and if he's going to go in there and try to fight like Crawford, like, you're not going to out Crawford in his own game.
Right.
That's why I believe that it's going to be a close fight. But I do believe that Crawford is going to show why he's number one pound for pound. He believes that he's number one pound for pound. Apparently, I'm going to have some time with Crawford. I've interviewed him once. He's one of the hardest interviews because the game face is, like, so tough. And I think he's lightened up a little bit.
He's very fight week orientated. He's in.
Yeah. Like, I remember the Top Rank days where he just did not want to do media, and I was just starting out, so I didn't know what the hell to say to him, what to ask him. I was straight up intimidated by him. So this weekend, he's a little bit older. He's a little more media savvy, I would say. I myself, a little more media savvy. I'm gonna have 15 minutes with him. I don't know, what should I ask the guy?
Oh, wow.
What should I get to with Crawford? I'm interested. I might ask him what he would be doing if he wasn't boxing, which is my latest favorite question to ask these guys.
Like, that's a good one.
What do you think Terrence Crawford would be doing if he was something like living in Nebraska? I'm sure, because he just loves being over there.
I wonder if it would still be fight sport related. Maybe he'd be, because he wrestled, maybe he'd be doing mixed martial arts.
MMA, you know, guy? Wasn't
from boxing. Yeah, maybe he'd be an MMA guy. I mean, he has the background. It's got to be something competitive, because that's just the way that he is. But, man, who knows? That's an interesting question, though. I like that one.
I got to ask him a bunch of stuff. I got to see his thoughts on who's pound for pound and just his opinion on a lot of, like, he carries a lot of weight with his opinion on just, like, normal boxing topics. So I would curious.
Well, he was the one who gave Usyk his props right after the Tyson Fury fight. He was like, guys, if you want to call him number one, like, I get it. Like, you know, and for him being such a competitive guy to say that means a lot.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I'm interested. I got to do my homework and figure out what I'm going to ask Terrence Crawford. All right, yeah, I'm heading out to L.A. We'll have a show for you Thursday-ish around that time where we will go through all these fights. We'll make our picks. Last time I did a big giant parlay, I think I went 1-for-6.
Nice.
So hopefully I'll do a little bit better.
The streak has ended. The streak has ended. You were doing really good for the first 6 months.
No, that was in June. That was my June. I've been on a heater ever since. You know, I did.
Oh, since June.
I would say I'm on a heater over the last 8 weeks.
Okay. All right. Not bad. Not bad.
8 weeks betting on boxing, betting on the Yankees. Getting my round bets correct. The Jake Paul one I had 6 round. Obviously the Gervonta Davis.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Had some insider tips.
I was gonna say you had the insider info on that one.
Which is that story I hope never dies.
So crazy. That's so great.
I hope I see Gervonta soon. He's over in the Olympics. He's in Paris. Him, oh, nice. Jake Paul, and someone else are with the USA team. I wish I knew more about the US Olympic team, but I do not. I will keep an eye on that out there. It's just been a long time since, was it Andre Ward was the last gold medalist in the Olympics?
Yeah, Shakur was a medalist after him, but yeah, Ward was the last gold.
I'm not going to pretend like I know who is fighting over on the US team. There's not a lot of buzz around that program. I wish there was more. We'll be watching the Olympics. You've been watching the Olympics. Do you care about the Olympics, Chris? You get fired up over swimming?
I used to. Yeah. Not as much anymore, especially because, like, now we're dedicated so much to boxing. Like, I got,
right.
You know, I got too much else going on.
I'll give it, like, a curiosity watch. Like, I'll turn it on. Yeah. If I'm flipping, you know, I'm a big flipper of the channel. So if I'm flipping, I'll put on Olympics, and I'll watch some odd, obscure fencing for, like, 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what's going on. Get upset at them, and then change the channel.
Get upset at them.
Why are they doing that? And then they realize, like, I don't even know this sport. I am watching.
You're judging them, and you have no clue what's going on.
I am watching.
True American fan. Team, very, very American of you.
Basketball, I will get down with.
They just smoked Serbia, right?
Serbia. They got they're playing Serbia. There's some, like, good competition. Like, they're not a foregone conclusion to win at all. Like, has gotten better around competition around the world in basketball. Mm-hmm. European, Spain, France is good. Canada is good. So that's what I'll be watching. And then when I'm not watching boxing. All right, everybody. We're coming to you next week or later this week from Los Angeles. Keep your hands up at all times. Protect yourselves at all times. Stay out of them DMs. Good night.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.